Today is April 3rd, Kaf Dalet Adar, Parshat Shmini. I had this, the evolvement of this shiur was really interesting. So I have here three Rashis that I was thinking I would focus on. When I was learning Shnai Mikra earlier this week, I noticed that Rashi kept repeating shame, bush. So you can see it highlighted in all of these. And I was going to talk about that, but then there were so many sources for the first instance of shame that I just got obsessed with that, and that's all we're going to talk about, but I just wanted to point it out anyway, because it's so interesting. So the first one that we are going to focus on, Vayomer Moshe el Aaron, Moshe said to Aaron, Krav el hamizbeach ve'aseh et chatatcha ve'et olatecha ve'chaper ba'adcha u'ba'at ha'am. Approach the altar and perform your sin offering and your burnt offering, atoning for yourself and for the people. And perform the people's sacrifice, atoning for them as the Lord has commanded. Now the question here is, it seems like a lot of extra words. The pasuk could have just said, and Aaron approached the altar, and he did all these things. Why does Moshe have to command him to do that? And why does the Torah have to tell us that Moshe commanded him to do that? And then I think it also will be relevant exactly which types of korbanot Aaron is bringing. So one, they're both kaparot, atonement for yourself and for the people, atoning for them. So Rashi here says, krav el hamizbeach, come close to the altar. Shayar Aaron bush v'yare legeshet. Aaron was embarrassed or ashamed and afraid to approach. So there's two emotions here. We're going to see what they were. Amar lo Moshe, lama atabush? Moshe said to him, why are you ashamed? So notice Moshe does not say, why are you ashamed and afraid? He just says, why are you ashamed or embarrassed? Lechach nivcharta. For this you have been chosen. Okay, and then the second one, I think, I'm not going to read them out loud, but it's Vayikra Perek Tet Pasuk Kaf Gimel. This is, again, Aaron's potential shame, speaking about. What I have here in small print, it doesn't use the same bush, three-letter root of busha, but klima, which is a synonym of busha, that the nation Israel were embarrassed at that point. And then the final one is after Aaron's children are killed for bringing the strange fire. Moshe chastises them, and Aaron defends himself and points out where Moshe was wrong. And there, Moshe was not ashamed. He saw that Aaron was right, and Rashi tells us he wasn't ashamed. So I just found it really striking, Rashi's very close repetition of this emotion. But we are just going to focus on the first one. So here is the Midrash that it comes from, even though the Chabad.org cited different sources than this Midrash. Most of the other Mikorot cites this as the original source. So we'll read it in English. Hi, Chaim, sorry about the timing of my email. Okay, I'm glad you could make it. Okay, draw near to the altar. So that's Karav El Hamizbech. That's what we're focusing on. Why does Moshe have to tell Aaron to come close to the altar? A parable to what is this matter akin? A king of flesh and blood married to a woman, and she was ashamed in his presence. So this is, I don't want to get too into this mashal, like I like to do little exercises where you connect all of the elements of the mashal with the nimshal, but this is a little strange. So a woman marries a king, and she's ashamed. Her sister came into her and said, why did you enter into this? Is it not only for the sake of ministering to the king? And the Hebrew for ministering is tishamshi. Embolden yourself and serve the king. Similarly, Moshe said to Aaron, my brother, why were you chosen as high priest? Is it not for the sake of ministering before the Holy One blessing? Embolden yourself and perform your service. So this addresses the element of shame or embarrassment, that this woman is embarrassed for what she must do as a married woman to the king. And Aaron was embarrassed for what he must do as the high priest, the Kohen Gadol, to Hashem. And they both have to embolden themselves and do it. Others say Arn perceived the horn altar as an image of a bull, so he sees in this altar on which he is going to bring the offering to atone for himself and for all of Bnei Israel, and he's frightened by it. So this midrash separates these two elements into embarrassment and fear. Remember how Rashi combined them and just really focused on the embarrassment aspect. But here, this is a distinct distinction that he was frightened. Whereupon Moshe said to him, "My brother, you're afraid of that? Thus, draw near, embolden yourself and draw near to him." So why would Aaron be afraid of the image of a bull? Because he himself was involved in the Egel HaZahav, the golden calf. And how can he, having sinned in that horrible sin, be the one to bring atonement to everybody else? And all of the later sources are really going to answer these whys in very different and meaningful ways that I hope we'll all be inspired by. Even though the Midrash doesn't really give the why he was ashamed and frightened, and it doesn't give the deeper meaning, but all the other commentaries will. So Ramban, we'll just read it in English. Aaron drew near unto the altar and slew the calf. It seems to me, in accordance with the plain meaning of Scripture, that Moshe said to Aaron, draw near to the north side of the altar and offer there the sin offering and the burnt offering, for they are to be slaughtered on the north side of the altar. So here, hi Beverly, sorry about the late email.
That's okay.
Here, Ramban seems to be giving a very simple meaning, that there's nothing, there's no deeper meaning in Moshe telling Aaron, come near to the altar, like Rashi said. Rashi implied that Aaron had to overcome some fear and embarrassment. Here, Ramban seems to be saying that Moshe is just giving him direction of exactly where on the altar he should bring the offering. That was necessary information that Aaron would have needed to know. Moses, however, said it briefly, since Aaron already knew that these offerings were to be slaughtered on the north side of the altar. So again, even Ramban's hints at some kind of repetitiveness in these words of the Torah. Okay, and then he quotes the Midrash that we just read. And then he says, as an alternative explanation. So he says, our rabbis in Torah Kohanim were, however, prompted by the use of the expression to draw a parable. Okay, and that's what we just read. The reason for this apparition, and he's focusing, the Ramban, interestingly enough, whereas Rashi focused on the embarrassment aspect of it, the Ramban is focusing on the fear aspect. So the reason for this apparition, which Aaron saw on the altar, was that since Aaron was the Holy One of the Eternal, having no sin on his soul except for the incident of the golden calf, therefore, that sin was firmly fixed in his mind, something like that which is said, and my sin is ever before me. You might recognize it, so I'm going to read that in Hebrew. V'chatati nigdi tamid, nigdi tamid. It thus appeared to him as the form, in the form, if the form of the calf was there in the altar, preventing his attaining atonement through the offerings he was to bring. That is why Moshe said to him, embolden yourself so that you should not be of such humble spirit, for Hashem has already accepted his works. So here, the Ramban is hinting at something that most of us continue to suffer with through today, which is called imposter syndrome, that Aaron is in this big role to bring atonement for everybody, and here he has this one huge sin in his past, and when he's about to take on his role of being the role model of offering kapara, atonement, what does he see in front of him? He sees his one big sin, always. And Moshe has to say, no, don't think you're not worthy. Hashem has already accepted. You have been forgiven. Go do it. Okay, now this is from a book called the Baal Shem Tov, but it's quoted in the name of Degel Machane Ephraim, who is the grandson of the Baal Shem Tov, the son of his daughter Adele. And this is quoting the idea put forth by the Arizal. Vayomer Moshe el Aaron krav el hamizbech. Okay. Upeish Rashi lefi shaya Aaron bush ve'ar legeshet amar lo Moshe lama tabush lechach nichavkarta. So again, Rashi, since Aaron was embarrassed and afraid to approach, Moshe said to him, why are you embarrassed? For this you were chosen. Behu tamua, and this is really questionable. Mishum shenivchar bezeh lo yistale kabusha melav. That just because he was chosen for this doesn't mean that his embarrassment would go away. He would still be embarrassed, even though he knows he was chosen for this. V'hine shamati min Adoni aviz keni zachut something something something. So he heard from his, I think he's quoting his grandfather, the Besht here. Peirush al zeh, an explanation. Mipnei sheyesh lecha yira ubusha min Hashem yitbarach lechach nivcharta. So how do we read this, Rashi? It's precisely since you have fear and shame before God, that's why you were chosen. Ki zivchei Elokim ruach nishbara, because the offerings of God are a broken spirit. People need, in order for God to accept our prayers, we need to be humble. We need to be broken in spirit, and that's why you were chosen. Ukvar niskarza v'kitvei ha'arizal, and that's, these are the words of the Arizal. Okay, now we have the Pnei David, the Chida. Rashi Piresh, Shehaya Aaron Bush, Amar Le Moshe Lama Tabush, Lechach Nivcharta. So, why are you embarrassed? For this you were chosen. Shamati Merav Hirsch Bachov, who I looked up and could not find in either Hebrew or English. So if anybody knows who he is, I'd love to hear. Kol Ha'osed Devar Avera Mitbayesh. Anybody who sins and is embarrassed or has shame, Aleha Mochlin Lo. Umitvayesh Aleha, sorry, who is embarrassed over it, over his sin, Mochlin Lo. He is forgiven. Al Kol Ovanotav, on all his sins. V'hacha Aaron hayabush b'maaseh ha'egel. And here Aaron is embarrassed about the sin of the golden calf. V'ayudei zeh nitkaper lo. And it's by way of these feelings of shame that he was atoned. V'zeh shamar, and that's why it's written, lama tabush v'eina takarev l'chach nivcharta shehabush ha'mechaperet. So why are you embarrassed and you're not approaching? It's your very nature of being embarrassed that you were chosen, because the embarrassment atones. So this is similar to the what's said in the name of the Arizal, that it's but it's more general there, that you're a person who's humble of spirit, and that's why you were called upon. But here the Pnei the Chida is saying that your embarrassment about this act is what actually forgives you, and therefore you were chosen and you can do it. And then he gives an alternative. Ve'afshar b'mashe zal, mashe amruzal. What they said, b'makom sh, and this is in the Gemara, b'makom shabalei tshuva omdim, en tzadikim gemurim yecholim leishav. So in the place where repentance stand, the complete righteous person cannot even sit. U'perishu hamefarshim, and the people explained, ki atam hu da tzadik berov tzidkoto, lo matzi avid elo ramach mitzvot aseh. I love this math that we're going to encounter here. So the reason that is because the tzaddik, with all his righteousness, he's never sinned. So therefore, he doesn't have any of, he can't fulfill any of the negative commandments, the 365 negative commandments, because he's never tempted. So therefore, they're not even relevant to him. So he doesn't fulfill those negative commandments. So he only has the 248 positive commandments. And of course, 248 and 365 equals 613. V'af elu, rabot meham. And even of those 248, there are so many of them that he can't fulfill. Hi, Susan.
Hi.
Sorry about my late email again.
Okay.
So there are so many of them that he can't fulfill, shetluyot bezman o b'mikra mechudash, because so many of those 248 positive mitzvot are dependent on a certain time or a certain renewed incident, or tluyot b'acharim, or they're dependent on others, ukiyotze kenoda. And similar to this, like we know, aval bal tshuva, so the repentant, milvad kiyum ramach mitzvot aseh. In addition, he not only fulfills the 248 positive mitzvot, shebezeh yad hachacham ve'abal tshuva shaveh, and here they're both equal. V'nosaf gam hu bal tshuva deyesh lo shin samachei mitzvot aseh acherot sheyesh lo levado yeterot al tzadik. So even though the bal tshuva and the tzadik are equal when it comes to the 248 positive commandments, when it comes to the 365 negative commandments, the Baal Tshuva gets them counted as positive commandments. So he has that in and over and above the tzaddik she'asa be'odo rasha, because he broke those mitzvot when he was still wicked, nichshavim lo kizchiyot. But because he repented, all those 365 mitzvot now become merits to him. So they're added in a way that the tzaddik can never have added, because the tzaddik is never tempted to do those, so he never has to do tshuva on them. So therefore, they never become merits to him. V'lechein gadla ma'alato yoter me'od, and therefore, for the Baal Tshuva, his level rises more and more. V'hashta ati shapir, and now we can understand well, de Aaron chet b'avodazara, so Aaron sinned in idolatry, b'maseh in action, v'hu avon chamor me'od, and this is a very serious sin. V'ata sheshav b'chol elu gadla ma'alato, and now that he's repented, his status has become even greater. Shehem mitzvot, that they become, this avodah zarah becomes mitzvot for him. V'zeh shomar, and that's what it says, lama tabush min ha'egel, why are you embarrassed about the golden calf? L'chach nivcharta, for this you were chosen. D'zeh nichshav l'cha l'schut gadol kimuvar, because this is considered for you a great merit. It was a great sin, and you did tshuva, and now it's a great merit. So Aaron, don't be embarrassed. You've fulfilled all your obligations. You're good to go. Okay, now this is the source I'm most excited about for this shir, and you will see why when we get to the second part of it. So this, again, I'm so excited because this is, I think, my third week in a row mentioning the Panim Yafot. So Rabbi Pinchas, son of Rabbi Tzvi Hirsch HaLevi Horowitz, and he, if you remember from last week, was the teacher of the Chatam Sofer. Remember, I had both of them last week, and then I mentioned him the week before. The Chatam Sofer quoted him. That's when I had that whole thing where his most famous book is the Hafla, and that's how he quoted him. So in any case, I'm so excited about this. But first, so we're going to read two of the four explanations he seems to bring about this. So the first explanation, Krav el Mizbeach, approach the altar, and Rashi's explanation, which we won't read again, Yesh lefaresh lefi shamru chazal. So we can explain this according to what our rabbi said in Zvachim, Behu beferesh Rashi la'el, and this is also in a Rashi above from Shmot Dalid, which is when Moshe is at the burning bush. Aaron achicha ha'levi shehaya atid liot levi. So after Hashem gets angry at Moshe, Moshe is refusing and refusing and refusing to go on this mission to let my people go. And finally, Hashem says in his anger, your brother Aaron the Levi. And Rashi there explains, he was supposed to be in the future just a Levi. V'ha-kahuna hayiti omer latzeit mimcha. And I was going to give you, Moshe, the kahuna, the priesthood. Me'ata lo yakin. But from now, it's not going to be. You protest too much. Elahu yakoin v'ata Levi. Rather, he's going to be the Kohen, and you are going to be the Levi. Okay? V'af ma shesirev Moshe haya anvunato. And even though Moshe's refusal was from his great humility, mikom kom ein ra'ui l'sarev b'tzivoy Hashem. In any case, it's not suitable to refuse in the commandment of God. It's too much humility. And when God asks you to do something, you do it. Clearly, God thinks you're worthy to do it. And that's why Moshe said this to Aaron. It's the same thing playing out, that Aaron was also embarrassed and refused to do the command of Hashem. So Moshe said to him, "Halo bishvil zeh na'anashti v'nivcharta l'kahuna. Before this, I was punished, Aaron. I learned from my mistake. And now you are chosen for the priesthood. How can you also refuse this?" So instead of what we've seen before is, for this you were chosen. The previous explanations have been given some sort of intrinsic character attribute of Aaron's humility. Moshe is actually saying, here the Panim Yafot has Moshe saying the opposite kind of. You were chosen for the kahuna, and this is a command of God. Don't make the same mistake I did in refusing to fulfill God's command. This isn't about you, Aaron. Okay, so that's the first explanation. And now this, I'm so excited about. Okay, so these two explanations, one was too Kabbalistic, and the other one I didn't like as much, and I have so many other things to show you. So, uveshem bat dodi isha maskelet. So now he's quoting his cousin, a intelligent woman. Okay, and he takes this phrase, Isha Maskalet, from a pasuk in Mishle, Yotet Yodalet, a house and wealth are the heritage of the fathers, but an intelligent wife is from the Lord. And of course, Isha means both wife and woman. So he referred, this is how he, and this again, this is my own, what did I just call it? My own imposter syndrome, that how I was so interested in this phrase, Isha Maskalet, that I decided to search it on my search engine, my Bar Ilan USB, and I had no idea it was part of a pasuk. And that happened a couple times in preparing this shir, that there's so much I don't know and so much we're missing out on because I don't know when the Mefarshim are quoting these, you know, more obscure psukim, but now this is not going to be obscure to me anymore. This is going to be like a huge pasuk in my life, this idea of this intelligent woman. So again, let's just take a moment that Rav Pinchas, son of Rav Tzvi Hirsch Halevi Horowitz, born in Poland in 1730, is quoting his very impressive, intelligent female cousin, okay? 18th century learned female cousin. We're going to read her explanation, which is very sharp, and I just want you to appreciate even more about it as we read it, and I'll point it out. Okay, so from his brilliant cousin, female cousin, Shamati shekavanato haya al pi divrei chazal. So I heard that Moshe's intent, was from the words of Chazal in Masechet Brachot, Biyored lifnei teva pam rishona misarev. So here is the Gemara. The sages taught Nebraita, one who is approached to pass before the Ark to serve as prayer leader for the sake of propriety should refuse to avoid creating the impression that he is too eager. And if he does not refuse but jumps at the opportunity, he is like cooked food without salt, which is to say that he acts in bad taste, which is a kind of funny pun. However, if he refuses too much, this is similarly inappropriate, as he is like cooked food that was ruined by too much salt. So how should he act? The appropriate conduct when approached to serve as communal prayer leader is as follows. When approached the first time, one should refuse. The second time, one should vacillate like a wick that has just begun to catch a flame but is not yet burning. And the third time, he should stretch his legs and descend before the ark. Okay, so his smart, brilliant female cousin is saying this is what Aaron was thinking. But then, ach katvu haposkim, his brilliant cousin goes on to say that the poskim wrote in Orach Chaim, Siman Nun Gimel, the Shulchan Aruch, de'beshliach tzibor ein tzarich l'sarev, l'chach amar l'chach nivcharta ve'ein l'cha l'sarev, that with the one who's leading the prayer service, you don't need to refuse. So the poskim say, yes, this is a good Gemara, but you don't need to follow it to the letter of the law, and you don't need to refuse each time. And therefore, Moshe said to him, for this you were chosen, and you shouldn't refuse. So I just want to point out that his brilliant female cousin is not giving just like a little pithy statement. She's quoting Gemaras and Shulchan Aruchs, okay, in the 18th century. And I couldn't find out who she was. If anybody knows who she was, please reach out to me. That would be awesome to know who this brilliant woman was, the cousin of Rav Pinchas, son of Rav Tzvi Hirsch Halevi Horowitz. Okay, are you all excited about that as I am? Just thought it was such a gem. Okay, anyway, now the Ayalat HaShachar, Rav Aaron Yehuda Leib Steinman, who is great 20th century Rav. He passed away in 2017, very recently. He was the Gadol Hador. Okay, Krav El HaMizbeach. So he's going to do this analysis on Rashi. Peresh Rashi Shehaya Aaron Bush Ve'ara Legeshet. So he's commenting on the fact that it says both embarrassed and afraid. Hine Rashi katav she'aron haya bush v'gam yare. Rashi wrote he was both embarrassed and afraid. U'Moshe amar le, lama ta bush l'chach nivcharet. Moshe only said to him, why are you embarrassed? For this you were chosen. But tzirich bior, and we need to look into this, lama lo amar le gam lama ata yare. Why didn't Moshe also say, why are you afraid? He only said, why are you embarrassed? So he explains that the fear was because of the shame. So unlike the Midrash that Rashi bases it on, and maybe he's reading into how Rashi understood Aaron's emotions, that the Midrash took the shame of comparing it to a woman who's being married to a king and she's embarrassed to serve him, And the second story was that Aaron saw the image of the of a bull on the corners of the altar, and that caused him fear. So here, Rav Shimon is saying that his embarrassment caused him fear. Umoshe diber imo al hasiba shegamar lehavio liyara lamatabush. And Moshe spoke with him on the reason that caused to bring him to fear. Why are you embarrassed? Ukishelo yevush mimele gam lo yitra'e. And once he was no longer embarrassed, once he felt confident in his role, then he would also, in and of itself, no longer be afraid. And he asks another question now. Since God commanded him to do this service, why didn't he approach to do them? Why does Moshe have to kind of drag him over there? And why is he embarrassed? And we also need to look into that if he was embarrassed, what was this chiddush, this new thing that Moshe, with Moshe saying to him, this, for this you were chosen? Hare Aaron yadamiza bekozot hu hayabush. Aaron knew he was chosen for this, and in any case, he was still embarrassed. So how does Moshe saying this help things, help to inspire him to actually do his role? So he quotes the Ramban, who we already read. V'haramban mefaresh b'avor she'a Aaron kadosh Hashem, that since Aaron was a holy one of God, ve'in b'nafsho chet zulati ma'aseh ha'igol, and he only had one sin in his soul of the golden calf, haya ha'chet ha'hu kavua lo b'machshavato. This sin was established in his thoughts. Kinyan shenemar v'chatati negdi tamid. Like it says in Tehillim, my sin is before me always, as we saw in the Ramban. V'yanin medlo ki ilu tzorat ha'egel sham ma'akev. And it appeared to him as if this form of the cow was hindering him from atonement. That's the Ramban. And at first glance, it would seem that, of course, Aaron repented from love. And that's what the Chida was talking about, that when somebody repents out of love, their sins turn into merits. If you repent out of fear, you get a clean slate, as if you didn't do anything. But when you sin out of love, which is a higher level, you turn your sins into merits. She'az ha'averot nasot kezchuyot, in which case Aaron, who of course did this tshuva out of love, all of his sins would have turned into merits. V'lama ze haya niralo ketavnit egel. So why did it appear to him in the form of a cow, if he had indeed repented and his sin already turned into a merit? Didn't he know that he himself had fulfilled all the requirements for repentance? So we learn from this that uprooting a sin is not just a one-time thing. It's a lifelong avoda. It's work of a life, of your whole life. And any good deed that you do still is impactful and effective at cleaning out the sin. And there's always still something to fix. So even though Aaron knew he had done proper tshuva, Moshe still has to motivate him, because proper tshuva once isn't enough. It's a lifelong service, and Aaron is still embarrassed, and Moshe has to say, no, for this you were chosen. Don't have this imposter syndrome. You can do it. Okay. Noam Elimelech, who we also spoke about last week. Again, a lot of 18th century. The last several weeks have been a lot of 18th century rabbis. Okay. So again, quoting our pasuk that Moshe says to Aaron, approach the altar. And again, Rashi. Dehine ikarhu la'adam habusha siman tov la'adam. So he says that shame is a good sign for a person. It's good if you have shame. Shehu Baishan. It's good to be shameful, embarrassed. B'chol ha-mitzbayesh lo b'mheira hu chote. He quotes a Gemara that says, anybody who has embarrassment or shame will not quickly sin. Be'aron haya mitzbayesh ma'od. And Aaron was very ashamed. Migodel ha-hachana'a shehayabo. From the greatness of the submission that he had. Shekein derech hatzadik, shetamid hu be'enav chataim, al kol nidnud avera. It's the way of righteous people that they always see themselves in their own eyes as if they're big sinners on any even hint of a sin. Even if it would be a very light sin, the tzaddik considers it very serious. He puts himself down and he humbles himself. Tamid, always. And in front of other people, he rebukes himself. And by way of acting this way, of sincerely seeing himself as always doing something wrong and rebuking himself in public, he brings others to thoughts of tshuva. Those who hear him will have their own thoughts of tshuva. And they'll say this expression, took me a long time to find this, what this expression means, Arazim nafla hashalhavet ma yasu hazove hakir. If the cedars went up in flame, what shall the hyssop of the wall do? So cedars are very strong, big trees, and the hyssop is a small, thin tree. So the hyssop feels he has no hope. If the cedars catch on fire, he'll for sure catch on fire. So the explanation is, I found this on Wikipedia explaining Hebrew idioms. When the strong and the precocious are hurt or fail, one can't expect the weak and the simple to have a better fate. So these weak and simple people, when they see the tzaddikim doing tshuva constantly, they themselves will say, I better do tshuva too. V'hem chozrim v'tshuvat shlema, and they return with a complete repentance. V'zeh shamar lo Moshe Rabbeinu alav ha-shalom lama tabush. And that's why Moshe said to him, why are you embarrassed? Perush, the explanation is, Bishvil sha'atabush v'yare, since you are embarrassed and fearful, v'imkein atahu ha-tzadik ha-shalem ha-ra'ui li-karev l'mizbech. That, by its very nature, is what makes you the perfect tzadik to bring the offerings on the altar. L'chach nivcharta, this is why you were chosen. So again, another explanation on the intrinsic characteristics of Aaron. And this is how it's fitting for a tzaddik to behave in his service to God. And that's what it means that he brought Aaron close to the altar. Since he heard from Moshe that this is the optimal level to have shame and huge humility in his heart, v'asakein, and he did this, v'yakrev Aaron el hamizbeach, then Aaron approached the altar. Peiru she'a mekarev atzmo tamid el hamizbeach, that is to say, he constantly brought himself closer to the altar, she'a motze be'atzmo chesronot, because he found in himself lacking, v'haya mechashev tamid she'tzarich lemizbeach chapara. And he thought always that there was always a necessity for atonement. So Aaron, it seems here from the Noam Elimelech, embraced his imposter syndrome as a strength, that in constantly feeling a need to improve himself and that he wasn't worthy, he then could be this model to the Jewish people that it's a constant work, trying to become a better person and to repent from past misdeeds. So he was the ultimate role model. Okay, and now the Sfas Emes. Krev al hamizbeach lama tabush l'chath niftcharta. So again, the pasuk in Rashi. Yuvan al pi ma dichtiv al pi ashrei tivchar v'tikrav yesh shabachru. So this, again, one of those things I had to look up to discover it was in a pasuk. Praiseworthy is he whom you choose and draw near to dwell in your courts. And this is the relevant part. I did look up and found it to be a pasuk. Let us be sated with the goodness of your house, the sanctity of your temple. So this pasuk in Tehillim has both the word tivchar, you choose, vatikrav, and you draw near. Okay? So the Sfas Emes says those are two different types of people. Ki bechira hu bechinat tzadikim gemorim. So the people God chooses, those are the people who are complete tzadik. That God chooses them. They can go to the altar, into the temple. The kriva, actually is proper pronunciation, hu bichinat baal tshuva. But the bringing near, that's the aspect of the baal tshuva. He might not deserve to be chosen, but Hashem still brings him near. V'amru chazal, and the rabbis say, and we've seen this before, b'makom she baal tshuva, baal tshuva omdim, ein tzadikim gemurim yocholim lamod. It's he quotes it differently. I think the other way it's quoted is the proper way. So in a place where Bali Chuva stand, a complete tzaddik, here it says can't stand, but the other one said can't sit. L'chein lo shartabo shchina ayde Moshe Rabbeinu olav ha-shalom, rak ayde Aaron. And that's why the shchina didn't rest on the Mishkan for the 7 days that Moshe was doing the initiation service, when he was acting as the Kohen Gadol. The Shechina didn't rest until the 8th day, our Parsha, Shmini, when Aaron was in charge of everything as the full Kohen Gadol. Achin bevadai Aaron atzadik shav me'ava. And of course, Aaron would have repented from love. Shez donot na'asin kizchuyot, as we've seen in a couple other sources, that his sins, even purposeful sins, would have become merits. Mikol shekein shkagot, all the more so his accidental sins. V'karov lomar ki kol inyan shenizdamen sheyel Aaron shaychut b'chet zeh haya kedei lalot tshuvot klal Yisrael liot me'ava. And he's saying it's very close to say that this whole matter that happened to Aaron, that he was involved in this sin, perhaps it was only to bring up, to raise the level of repentance of all of Israel to that of love. That if Aaron hadn't been in the dirt with them, it wouldn't have been this powerful tshuva. Vehu hele kol chetaam. And he, in his having been with them in the sin, was able to lift up the sin of the nation. Ve'alav darshu al kol pshaim techase ava. This is the one where I looked up. So again, Mishlei, hatred arouses quarrels, but love covers all transgressions. That's what the part the Sfas Emes quoted. The love covers all transgressions. When you repent out of love, it covers it all up. B'schuto kiseh ha'anan al kol Yisrael. And he uses the same language of covering to show that in Aaron's merit, the cloud covered all of Israel. That the cloud was in Aaron's merit for his having done tshuva as this protective cover between the people and God so that their sins would be covered as well. V'lachin amar Moshe Rabbeinu olav ha-shalom, l'chach nivcharta. And that is why Moshe said, for this you were chosen, she'aron hayabush she'ayde tzarich liyot b'chinat bal tshuva. Aaron was embarrassed or ashamed because this was the aspect of a baal tshuva, very repentant. Umatov im hayu bechinat tzadikim gemurim. And what good would it be, Aaron representing the nation, if he were a complete tzadik, never having sinned? Veheshivu ki bechinat krevazo kmo bechira. And the Heshiva responded to him, that this aspect of kreva, which we said in the pasuk from Tehillim, which is usually the baal tshuva, that it's also like choice, like the tzaddikim. V'zesh amar l'chach nivcharta, and that's why it says, for this you were chosen, ki tiken kol hachet liot kizchuyot, because you fixed all of the sins as if they were merits. So you have, Aaron, you've made it so that you have both the aspect of bringing close and choice, because you came close as a baal tshuva, but you were chosen because all your sins turned into merits. Okay, and now the final one, Rav Moshe ben Rav Yosef Shik, the Maharam Shik. So he's talking about this within the context of an interesting story of a potential convert who goes to both Shammai and Hillel, that he wants to convert on the condition that he can become the Kohen Gadol, which obviously a convert could never become the Kohen Gadol. And he compares it to our case here in this Parsha, in this Rashi. So he brings what he explained, and according to the words of Rashi in Parshat Shmini, Kishamar lo Moshe l'Aaron, when Moshe said Aaron, krav el mizbeach, so our pasuk, and Aaron was embarrassed, and Moshe said, why are you embarrassed? For this you were chosen. Okay. V'amarti ha-kavana, and I said, what was the intent? Ki be'emet kasheh, it's really difficult. Aaron nase al yado katarag al Yisrael b'maseh ha'egel. Aaron became just by his existence and having joined in the sin of the golden calf, he became like a prosecutor. This is why men specifically, and some women also, don't wear gold jewelry on Yom Kippur, because Yom Kippur was the day we were forgiven from the golden calf. And why would you wear gold to remind God of the golden calf? And you become your own prosecutor. So Aaron, by having participated in it, was like a prosecutor. V'imkein hechitapechu lesenigor. How could he turn himself into the defender? Kategor is prosecutor and senigor is defender. Lehakriv korbanot lechaper al Yisrael. To bring the offerings that would atone on Israel. V'yesh lamar et demishum tamzeh. Hayan Aaron Bush. And that's why Aaron was embarrassed, because he didn't understand how he could be the great defender, the one to bring atonement to all of Israel, when he in and of himself represented the golden calf, which would prosecute the Jews. Ava Moshe Amarle, but Moshe said to him, Lama Tabush, why are you embarrassed? Lechach nivcharta, for this you were chosen. Hainu ki ita b'gemara, that is to say, like we have in the Gemara, lo haya Yisrael ru'uyim le'oto ma'asa ha'egal, Rak kedei leharot tshuva l'rabim. Israel was not worthy for this golden calf, only in order to teach repentance to the masses. Leharot shemo'il tshuva gam l'rabim shechatu. To show that tshuva is effective also to the masses that sinned. Zot amar le Moshe. And that's what Moshe is saying to him. Ki lechach nivcharta l'oto avon. You are chosen for this sin, kedei leharot tshuva l'rabim, in order to teach repentance to the masses. V'imkein harei de'ein lecha liot bush milahakriv. And therefore, you have no reason to be embarrassed to bring the offerings. Kedei she'yaru shenitkabel hakorban u'mechaper al Yisrael, because you will actually show them that their offering is received and atone on all of Israel al yadcha, by way of you. And you will not be a prosecutor, God forbid. Okay, so those are my sources for you about Aaron's imposter syndrome. I hope you can be inspired by Aaron's actions and Moshe's encouragement of him. And may we all merit to do tshuva so that all of our sins can be turned into merits. And may we all just try the best we can do to be the best people we can be. And please, in all of our efforts, may we see the return of the hostages and the end of this war very soon.
Amen.
Please.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks for coming, everybody. Such late notice. Okay. Bye.